and I want to welcome you to the podcast for this week. On the I Want to Know More podcast this week, we're going to 2 Samuel chapter number 22. This chapter is in where it's at for the narrative purposes of 2 Samuel. We're going to read it. We're going to read the entire chapter. It's a long chapter. We're going to read the entire chapter, and we're going to spend the next several weeks looking at some of the aspects of this chapter in the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 22, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth, devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. Through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and discomfited them. And the channels of the sea appeared. The foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of his breath of his nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me, because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before him, and have kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eye sight. With the merciful thou wilt shew thyself merciful, and with the upright man wilt thou shalt shew thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt shew thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt shew thyself unsavory. And the afflicted people thou wilt save, but thine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop. By my God I have leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, so that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and destroyed them, and turned not again until I had consumed them. And I have consumed them and wounded them that they could not arise. Yea, they are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength to battle. Them that rose up against me hast thou subdued under me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They looked, but there was none to save, even unto the Lord. But he answered them not. Then did I beat them as small as the dust of the earth. I did stamp them as the mire of the street, and did spread them abroad. Thou also hast delivered me from the strivings of my people. Thou hast kept me to be head of the heathen. A people which I knew not shall serve me. Strangers shall submit themselves unto me as soon as they hear. They shall be obedient unto me. Strangers shall fade away, and they shall be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. It is God that avengeth me, and bringeth down, and that bringeth down the people under me, and that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou also hast lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. He is the tower of salvation for his king, and sheweth mercy to his anointed, unto David, and to his seed forevermore. Wow. Oh my, there's so much in there. There's so much in there. But let's talk about the chronology of it first. When did this happen? When did David sing this song? Says, in the very first of it, it says when David had been given rest all about from his enemies. Now, this happened before the situation with Bathsheba. It also happened afterwards. He finally had rest at the very end. And it's really difficult to set this in chronology other than the fact that David makes the statement that he has kept himself from iniquity. I don't think he would have made that statement if this occurred after the situation with Bathsheba. I don't think so. But, you know, when the Lord forgives, it's as if it never happened, and then you suffer the consequences, and then they're done. Your iniquity is not held against you forever. And perhaps David is saying that after the Lord cleansed him, and after the Lord forgave him, then the iniquity is taken care of, and his iniquity doesn't show. Perhaps. Perhaps. But I will say this, that David is singing this in triumph, in joy. He is singing this in victory, talking about God, his foundation. God is rock. He uses that phrase rock, or that word rock, five times if I've counted right. There's two times early in the scripture, there's once in the middle, and then there's two times toward the end of the scripture he uses my rock, God my rock, or my God is a rock. There's and this echoes the same sort of statements made by Moses. There are some interesting parallels between David's phrasing here and Moses' phrasing. Now I have to wonder if David didn't have the books of Moses in front of him, and he saw this, saw Deuteronomy, and read Deuteronomy, I believe it's 32, where Moses makes something very similar happen. He sings a song. Song. In song, we use swelling words. In song, we use allegories, and we use imagery and figures of speech. And we use things that bring about emotion rather than bring about intellectual understanding. Music hits you different. The words of music and the lyrics of musical compositions hits differently than the written word would or the spoken word. The spoken word is different from a sung word. There were so many differences as I grew up. I could understand that even as I grew up, that I understood songs differently. And some songs I never really thought about what the words meant. I sung them, and as pretty songs and as pretty words. And the words brought forth certain emotions, but they didn't necessarily bring forth certain thoughts. Music hits differently, and this is a musical composition. It's supposed to hit differently. I don't believe we should analyze it in the same way that we would analyze doctrinal scriptures, you know, like the Ten Commandments or the various laws and sundry ordinances of the law or some other areas. Those are intended to be analyzed. Those are intended to be diagrammed out. And I've thought and prayed about how to parse this particular section. And the only way you can is it's a song. It's a song. Songs have different meaning from just the regular spoken word. You know, a song, a section of lyrics, because of the constraints that lyrics of songs are under, the lyric has to fit the tune, and there's a certain expectation of a bit of poetry in it, and it rhymes, and it's got a sing-song way of the words, and David's using words here that he probably would not have used in legal documents or if he were just speaking. But no, he's singing. And I have to wonder if this is not part of what he sung as he brought the Ark of the Covenant in the second time. Or maybe it was the first time. Maybe this was before Uzzah reached out and grabbed the Ark and then died for it. And David said, we brought a breach upon the Lord. The Lord brought a breach upon us. And he realized that they had done it the wrong way. Perhaps this song was what he sung the first go around. Perhaps. The Bible does not give us a clear statement as to when. And the fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter when. When is not important to understanding this song and this scripture. This song, this scripture is about praising God for his long-suffering fortressness. Fortressness? I've never heard that word before, but being like a fortress. He is a fortress. He's a steady foundation. He is my rock, David says. Now, you know, calling somebody your rock, that is, that says a lot of things. First off, with rock, you think of strength. You think of something that's very strong. You think of something that can handle a lot of force and can withstand a lot of things going against it. But I also think of something being called a rock. It's like something being written in stone, you know, like the engravings on a tombstone. Something written in stone, it's permanent. It has a great deal of permanence to it. It has longevity. And he's my rock when it comes to permanence. So many things are implied. You know, I've studied song all my life, and some songs you can't take doctrine from them. I mean, one of my favorite songs early on, I sung it as a kid. At 4 years old, I stood on the piano bench and sung this song that Shirley Cochran, wrote back in the late 60s, City of Gold. There's a city that looks o'er the valley of death. The valley of what? Find scripture for me that says that. You won't. But that's not the purpose. The purpose is to elicit emotion. The purpose is to bring about a feeling. The purpose is to show how this city is high and it is so far better than anything else that everything else looks like death compared to this city. We could describe it for days, but the songwriter makes it clear. There's a city that looks over the valley of death and its glory. Oh, my. You know, it's a great song. I encourage you to find a copy of it and listen to it. Don't take it for doctrine. I don't think you should take songs for doctrine. That's not their purpose. Their purpose is for praise. Their purpose is for worship. You say, well, shouldn't a song be doctrinal? I believe it should be. But I'm also not going to go out of fellowship with a songwriter if the songwriter makes tiny little slips and makes little fine points of doctrine, because that's not the purpose. You don't preach in song. You minister to the heart in song. And sometimes you take artistic license with that song. and you use wording that is very figurative in nature. The wording that brings about a certain feeling. You know, there's a lot of songs. And songs that even the songwriters themselves look back at the song and say, how could I have sung that? How could I have written that? I'm told the author of Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing later on in life was on a train or on a stagecoach or something, riding along. Anyway, there's somebody else there with them, and that somebody else recognized their name and said, well, you wrote that song, Come Thou Fount. How wonderful a song. And they proceeded to recite part of it. And the author said, how I wish I could be back at the place I was when I wrote that song. And the great swelling words, here I'll raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come. Wow. Now there's you some words. There's you some great swelling words that are worthy of being sung. See, language that's worthy of being sung is different from language that's merely spoken. Because song is permanent. I can remember songs. If I start humming the tune, if I can get the tune started, then I can go through. Like, for instance, I was trying to recall the words to City of Gold. Reciting just the words, I can't remember them. But I guarantee if I started with the tune and got the tune in my head, I could sing them. Because singing and song is remembered differently from the spoken word. The spoken word is sequential. The spoken word is temporal. The spoken word is chronologically impaired and afflicted. I use the word impaired and afflicted talking about chronology and chronologically. Chronological order puts things into, it binds things up and really, the word escapes me exactly what I'm trying to say, but it does not allow it to express its full range of meaning. See, words don't have precise scalpel width meanings. You know, words aren't intended to have sharp meanings in song. In song, it's supposed to be broad strokes and broad feelings, and it swells with the tune. You know, there are some songs, especially Celtic tunes, where the words don't have any meaning at all. It's not about what the words mean, it's about how they sound. The words is part of the music, and the person singing the words is playing a musical instrument. And they're not looking for the word in terms of the meaning. They're looking for the word in terms of the sounds and how it interacts with the tunes. And that's why a lot of folk songs, the words, you hear them and you say, what did they say? Say what? And they don't have a meaning as a spoken word. But within the song, they bring about a feeling in tune with the other instrumentation in the music. Celtic stuff is pretty big in that. There's a lot of Celtic folk music that's that way. And so it's something you have to remember. Singing things to kids is the best way of getting them to remember the feeling of it. Reciting it or reading it is the best way to get the intellectual meaning. And reading is different from spoken word. The spoken word is processed in a different way in your mind than the written word is. Now, some people read it aloud in their head. They may not be actually saying the word, but they're hearing it in their head. And so for them, it's very similar. I'm different in that regard. When I hear the word spoken, it hits me differently than if I read it. And I can hear the spoken word, and it's a little easy for it to go in one ear and out the other. Whereas the written word, especially if I've ever written it or typed it, if I've ever typed it out, then I have a much better chance of remembering it. and I have a much better chance of getting the intellectual meaning out of it, getting the knowledge out of it. But sometimes it takes music to get understanding and to really feel what's being felt. And David uses words here. Again, it's really not intended just to be spoken. It needs to be sung. I just don't know the tune. I don't know the tune David would have used. And furthermore, I can't sing it the way it should be sung because I don't know Hebrew. And this is a Hebrew song. And so the sounds in the Hebrew language are just as much part of the music as the tune is. Yeah. That's why some songs sound a little bit odd in English. There's a lot of examples of this around Christmas time. In particular, the Christmas carol, Silent Night. Silent Night is not the original words. Silent Night was not written in English. It was written in Austrian. I believe that's correct. Austrian. I don't think it was German. I think it was Austrian. And it's Stille Nacht. And it feels different. Sounds different. If you've ever heard it sung in the original language, you can tell it's different. It hits you different. You may not understand the words, but it hits differently. And there's a lot of English songs that don't translate into other languages. I'll give you an example. Bible school one year, I did the announcing and directing moderator. That's the word. I did the moderator job for Bible school one year, and part of that was leading the singing. And we had some young kids with us from Mexico, and they were with us with relatives, and so they were in the Bible school with us, and precious kids, joyful and just a joy to be around, full of life, full of energy, full of joy. And one of our songs was, I've got the joy, you know, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart to stay. In Spanish, it's different. And so I was able to get a Spanish copy. The Lord dealt with my heart about it. And I asked a missionary if he had a Spanish copy of the song and to help me out with it. And I learned how to sing it in Spanish that week. And so the final night of Bible school before commencement, the final night, I said, now for, and I said their names, for them, we're going to sing it in Spanish. Here we go. And I started singing, Yo tengo gozo, 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 en mi corazón. And their eyes lit up. They broke out into a big grin because they understood Dad. But let me tell you something. I've got the joy, 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 and yo tengo gozo, 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 en mi corazón. Feels different. And of course, in English, I've got the peace that passeth understanding. I've got the pause, 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 pause. En mi corazón is the way it goes. Oh my. The power of music. And I want to thank you for listening to the podcast for this week. I Want to Know More is a podcast ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. To correspond with me, please email broadcast@lamarowen.net. Again, that's broadcast@lamarowen.net. And join us here again next week for I Want to Know More.